I'm Tim Yancey, inviting you to explore the fascinating realm of the paranormal, ghosts and hauntings, Bigfoot, UFOs, and alien abductions. Join me live every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. with the foremost authorities and experts in the world regarding the mysterious realm of the unexplained. The Encounters Paranormal Radio Series, as heard on WBZT 1230 AM. EncountersBroadcasting.com.
Technology today.
This objective is to kill men.
The goal of the demonic is death. Plain and simple, it is death.
All of a sudden, he gets slapped in the face and he flies against the wall. And then his handprints appear across the face.
Very scary here. Everything about it is scary. The work in this field, our face is very short.
It was escalating to where objects started moving.
This is a war that we're fighting. What you're talking about does not think in human terms. It is from another time.
Today. Class is now in session.
Featuring Kenneth Deal, Alan Glassell, and Deborah Johnson.
Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m. Central, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern. Only on the I Am Haunted Radio Network.
Do you feel like there's something happening in your home or business? Something you can't explain? Do you think that whatever is happening is seems to be paranormal. Do they exist? Florida Ghost Hunters at FloridaGhostHunters.com are looking for haunted locations throughout Central Florida. Let the team at Florida Ghost Hunters investigate your paranormal experience. Their mission is to disprove a haunting with science, to find a reasonable explanation to a problem, and whatever is left becomes evidence. FloridaGhostHunters.com. If you've experienced paranormal activity in your home or business, you are urged to visit FloridaGhostHunters.com and click Need Help. FloridaGhostHunters.com.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Okay, I'm telling you, That was a fast break.
I mean, this stuff gets really kind of hairy here. That's why I kicked you out for a few seconds.
I'm glad you did.
I am 190% confident in your abilities, Doug. But I just wanted to just get us through this thing.
Yeah, see, the problem is I'm only 25% confident in my abilities. So yeah. I'm really, really happy you did. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
Our website is www.ghostlytalk.com. Of course, on those breaks, you hear independent music. And evidently,
I'm so gonna get fired from letting my cell phone go.
No way,
dude.
Because no way. I mean, I know you didn't turn your ringer off, but you know what? You totally saved us through that break because I would have not been able. I would not have been able to hit all those buttons and turn all those dials.
The guy you just called, he's gonna get kicked in the head on the next break because he knows what I do on Sunday nights. He knows what
I do. We've been doing this for our seventh year broadcast.
We're working. I can't believe this. We have a winner for the contest.
We do. We do indeed.
Yes. We have Brad.
Brad.
Boost Radio on the line. I had to do that. I'm sorry. I had to say Boost Radio. Brad, we got your phone number and all that good stuff, so what we're going to do is we're going to contact you after the show and get all your details we have to turn over.
And you
to.
Know what? You're going to Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah.
The same weekend we are. We're going to party. I mean, we're going to go to that wonderful Mid-South convention.
Yes, and we're going to exchange ideas. We're not going to... No partying.
We're going to see speakers and stuff.
Yeah, Brad, we just wanted to... You know, you called on the break, which was cool, and we just wanted to have you here on the air with us to congratulate you on winning those tickets, and we're looking forward to hanging out with you down there in Louisville.
Definitely. Can't wait. Cannot wait.
And you said you're from Beast Radio, and you guys are somebody who rebroadcasts our show?
Yes, actually, I figured out, Sam, I mean, call me stupid, but I figured out how to put your URL, your IP, so now you're streaming through the Beast every Sunday at 6 to 9 p.m.
Oh, well, thank you so much. That's so great. Like I said in the chat room when we talked earlier, send me your banner and all your information.
Oh, we can put that up on the
We'll put it up
page.
On the affiliates page. We always like to support our affiliates, so thank you so much, Brad.
Oh, not a problem, man. I love you guys because you guys promote the locals, and that's what I do is 24/7 local artists unsigned.
What's the website again, Brad?
It's beastradio.com. And if you want to promote us, you can grab a banner. There's some good banners, and there's some Office Work Safe banners.
Brad,
we can use the good ones.
What we're gonna do, Brad? Like we're gonna contact you right after the show. And we're gonna get all your information so we can turn that over to the Mid-South people. Okay, so we'll be calling you right around 9 p.m. Eastern time tonight. Okay. All right, Brad.
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks again, Brad. We'll talk to you soon.
No,
right. Thanks again,
you guys.
Man.
Rock.
Thank you.
All right.
See you soon.
Bye.
That was awesome.
I'm sweating.
I think that's
it. No, thank
congratulations
really well.
To Brad.
Congratulations.
That's totally awesome.
I cannot wait to hang out in the paranormal.
Discuss the paranormal with Brad down in Louisville, Kentucky.
What next for this three-ring circus tonight?
Well, Doug? You know, what's interesting is whenever we have Tamara on, we get so many listeners because she is so incredibly popular.
Yeah,
and
Tamara's so
she's
awesome.
Written, I think, 762 books. And let me just read the bio.
Yeah, we got to read this bio.
Here we go. Because did you work on this or
no,
is this her?
No, I had nothing to do with it. All I do is I'm a copy and paste master. I do nothing else.
I was reading this bio and I thought, this smacks of Scott having fun. But evidently it was someone else having fun.
No.
Tamara Thorne was raised in her family's basement where she spent her time raising giant mushrooms and telling ghost stories to the possums that lived in the walls. Later, she was given a tutor who, despite being bound and gagged, managed to teach her to read and write by the light of a candle. Tamara wrote about what she knew, the dead things that spoke to her from beneath the cellar's earthen floor. Later, Tamara escaped and tried a number of occupations, from pickle hatcher to embalming fluid tester. But writing ghost stories and hanging with hauntings and hanging with hauntings was such a strong pull that she returned to her first love. Today, she lives above ground, but writes fiction and nonfiction about the anomalies she knows and loves. Her turn-ons are staying in... This sounds like I should have a photo spread. Her turn-ons are staying in haunted hotel rooms, petting cats, and designing marital aids out of Velcro. Ooh. Ow. Her turn-offs are reality shows, pop music, and snipping other people's toothbrushes. www.tamarathorne.com. Tamara, welcome back to Ghostly Talk.
It's great to be here.
Did you write that?
Yeah.
I thought it was Scott's doing.
No, it wasn't me.
Because I'm reading this and I'm thinking, he's really, really, really trying to get me to, like, totally mess up again.
No, man.
We used to mess up every single bio ever, and then we sort of got good at it in the past, like, 6 months or so. And
we'll digress, though.
So I thought for sure that he was trying to get me to mess up. You know, Tamara, it's been too long.
It has been too long.
You've probably written 77 books in the time since we've...
Only 45.
See, yeah. There we go. You're one of the hardest working authors I've ever had the ability to talk to, because, you know, you do come out of the out from behind the writer's desk every now and then to go stay in a haunted place or learn about, you know, some facet of ghost hunting or the afterlife and things like that, and you do come out from behind the keyboard every now and then, and you talk to us every now and then, and so you've been, like, really obviously really busy.
Yeah, I've been doing more sleeping with ghosts and my collaborator, as a matter of fact. But that's another story.
I knew we were going to get to sex, like, any time.
I know, it would be in the first couple of sentences.
How do you think we designed the Velcro? But never mind. Good thing I didn't tell her I was on. We've been doing a lot of road trips to ghostly places. We're putting together a series of nonfiction books, and everything's stuff we experience.
That's got to be fun because, I mean, did you, I'm trying to remember this, but you, I know that in your series, because you wrote a whole bunch of phenomenal horror novels, you know, fiction, but in there, I think peppered throughout there, or maybe toward the end of that list, or maybe it was at the very beginning.
I'm just slow.
you had done some nonfiction, and now you're like, it just sort of... Wow, it just took over, and you just love writing about these experiences in the haunted places. I find that fascinating because, you know, we've been to a few haunted places ourselves.
Yeah.
I know.
And they do kind of, every one of them has stories, every single one of them, and sometimes they tell them to you in the dark.
They do. And I've really been doing nonfiction more because it's easier. My husband and I bought a business, so it sort of interferes with writing books, since I like to just sit there and write for 6 weeks and never come out of my basement.
I wish I could do that.
I wish I could, too. It's worked so well lately. But getting away for a few days every couple of months keeps us sane, and it's a lot of fun. And, yeah, but lots of story ideas come from those, too. You're right.
Well, here's one question. I mean, one of the things about, you know, we got listed here is that you were hoping to hunt. You're not going to haunt anything just yet, are you?
No, not for a while.
Not.
I can't read it all. I was hoping to hunt at an old military base the other night, which could yield some stories. Now,
it ended up not...
Well, no, wait.
This is the most amazing thing ever, because this is what happens to me.
Okay. Yeah, it wasn't too interesting, you said. right? And so often, we don't hear that very often, which, you know, sometimes I think hearing, like, you know, it wasn't as crazy as we thought it was going to be. It's just as informative as somebody going, oh, my God, there was, like, you know, corpses jumping out of the ceiling and stuff like that at us, right?
Well, there was that, but, you know, I'm kind of jaded.
Oh, you too, huh?
Yeah. You can smell them before you see them.
Yeah, I don't get, well, hey, you know.
Well, they let some of the actors sit up in the balcony, mm-hmm. which is where I really wanted to go sit for an hour. But so it wasn't as empty as we'd like.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my tricks, a couple of us were sitting up in the men's dressing room with a tape recorder and camera mm-hmm. going, and I was mostly asking the ghost to flush the toilet, but one flushed downstairs, evidently, but not the one I was staring at.
Great.
So that was, I don't know.
And this was a phantom flush, you said? Or, I mean, this was the flush you said you heard downstairs, right, after you
said
it?
I didn't hear it downstairs. They told me it flushed downstairs, but I don't know if they said that because it sounded good or if it's true. Because I didn't hear it from the
Well, is it one of the, is it, was it one of them, like, the new flusher things that, like, have the laser beam on them and stuff?
You know, they're going to flushless toilets now. I mean, at least for in men's rooms, you've got... You actually have waterless toilets.
Yeah, you know what? And those are disgusting.
It's going to be very difficult to get a ghost to flush a waterless toilet eventually.
In reality... Go ahead, Tamara. I'm sorry.
This is really deep. If I were a guy, I'd want my urinal to have, like, a picture of George Bush etched.
Well,
even the pee shy would have a problem going with that.
Yeah, like, right.
One of the old plants I worked at a few years ago had one of these. You know, I'm sorry, we're not talking paranormal, but I have to mention this that it came up, and it was like, yeah, they made a big deal out of this. We actually got an email like, you know, the facilities are being re-outfitted with the state of the art waterless, you know, toilets, you know, urinals,
and we're like, ew.
And I'm like, well, no. At first, I was like, okay, this is let's save some water, let's conserve. I'm all about that, right? And I don't. They lasted for about 2.5 months. And it was really kind of interesting watching these things kind of go from, like, sparkling, brand-new, waterless toilets to these piles of festering, just disgusting...
disease. And
like, just like, yeah, yes. Just like corpses hanging off the wall in the bathroom, right?
Yeah.
Ew.
They didn't work too good.
No.
That's the whole point. You know what? I'm sorry. Okay, I want to conserve as much as possible, but some things I think require water.
So we need to push for actual flushable toilets with water in them everywhere, so that in case a ghost needs to let us know of its existence, it's got something.
But they can't have the lasers on there, though.
The lasers?
No.
Oh, those little lasers. Yeah, those things.
Yeah, you can't have that. You've got to have
an actual handle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's why I asked that. And you said, Tamara, that this was just a standard, like, you know, handle toilet that didn't really have any state-of-the-art electronics on it, correct?
Correct. And if it's true, there were some actors hanging around, so I don't know for sure. There was, when I went in the one downstairs, there was a closet next to it, and there was the only really palpable cold spot. I can't talk today. Large cold spot in the place that I felt that really felt like a cold spot in a closet next to it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It wasn't a water closet. We're going to go back, and we're going to go in the old military hospital as well. There was a lieutenant colonel that came to see what we were doing, and we'd had to get clearance, you know, what kind of cameras we had and all this and that and the other, and, you know, and I had to clear my legal pad and pen. I'm really high tech. But he saw a shadow figure walk along the long wall of this theater. And I wasn't in there. I was still sitting in the men's dressing room.
Mm.
But he was very impressed, and we got invited back on the spot. So that was good.
You're also working at another a private residence that we've talked about before here on the show. And you said, from what I see here, you had a grand experience there in June. Am I correct?
Oh, it was so cool. Yeah.
Well, come, we're salivating here, Tamara. Come on.
I want to know.
It's one of those ones that you just wait for, that you want, and if you smoked, you'd want a cigarette afterwards.
Ooh, it sounds fulfilling.
I haven't had an experience like that in years, so please tell me what this is like.
Let us live vicariously through you.
Well, this house, we've been going to for quite some time, and I was there, my collaborator, QL Pierce, she and I write together. Nonfiction together. Mm-hmm. We both went there to keep the lady of the house company while some stuff was going on. So we wandered into the... There's a little room in there that is very nasty feeling, very electric, staticky.
Mm-hmm.
We've been in there before when cell phones will turn back on and ring and repeatedly. They call it a vortex. I don't know what it is, but it's something. And you know, feels like there's magnets and electricity everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who knows? Maybe there's a meteor underground. I don't know. Martians upstairs. But it's something. And stuff does seem to come through there. Odd things. It changes. But I went in there. I've never played with one of those nighttime cameras before, but somebody handed me one, and we had all the lights out, and it's very dark. So I walked into the little room down the stairs, and stood in the doorway, and the lady of the house was another 10 feet back because she doesn't even go in this room anymore. But and I found out why.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And this is Southern California, yeah, earthquake country. This is down some stairs, but the house is, you know, above, it has wood floors.
Mm-hmm.
So you feel vibrations. So I'm standing in there with the camera because I can't see, you know, my own hand in front of me. All I can see is through the screen, so I'm trying to see what all is in the room, and pointed towards some stairs and or shelves with stuff on them, and I started to hear some clattering sounds like jars and things wiggling like an earthquake, and there was absolutely no movement though, and then there was something that sounded like thunder, vibratory, so almost, you know, harmonics, but like a huge sheet of metal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Thor's saw maybe. And Q described it as like a metal garage door shaking. She didn't hear any clattering. And the lady of the house heard very mild rumbling and some clattering that sounded like boxes, whereas to me it was, you know, more metallic and glass. But anyway, this started happening. It got very loud. It was all around me. And what really impressed me was that I still had the camera on the shelves. I was really trying hard to figure out if we were having an earthquake, since I couldn't feel anything. And I realized I was my body had decided it would be going up the stairs now. Thank you very much. And yeah, so I
your mind
down.
Is like, I wonder what's going on, and your body's already halfway up the
stairs. Yeah, the reptilian brain decided, I'm out of here, baby. Q grabbed my arm, and we got up, and I remember this camera belonged to some TV people, so. And it was going to a favorite parapsychologist of mine and a friend who's well-regarded in the field. And I let loose with a I was laughing and let loose with a string of imaginative curse words that would belong on Deadwood. Calamity Jane might say this stuff.
Oh, my.
And it was... And then I laughed all the harder because I realized I'd just recorded this on a camera that wasn't mine. And so... Nobody else, the other people in the house were on the other side, and they didn't hear us, which was odd because we were shrieking. And it was fun. So,
So interesting, too, because you described, while you were in this room, and you heard it one way, the person up at the top of the stairs or in the stairway...
just three stairs up.
Yeah, Q heard it slightly differently, and then the person standing outside the door, who wouldn't come in again for obvious reasons, heard it, you all heard noises, but they were different, sounded different. One sounded like boxes rattling, one sounded like, you know, Thor's hammer, Thor's...
Yeah, you and I pretty much probably heard the same thundery sounds.
Right.
She described it as a little smaller, but I was inside it, and she was in the door threshold. Yeah,
it's
and
so interesting because the
that was her first. Wow, I can't explain this.
we were just last month talking about how sound can be perceived so incredibly differently. It's got it. Obviously, sound has to travel through the air, and sound does bounce off of, you know, objects and things and hard surfaces, and it's absorbed somewhat by soft surfaces. And obviously, if there's a radio studio nearby, the walls are specially coated usually to absorb sound. So there's certain things you can do, and obviously people will build acoustical mediums, acoustical stadiums for symphony orchestras. So there's a whole science to sound.
Oh yeah, acoustical engineering is something I should have got into.
Yeah,
but we're talking about a room that's about 8x8, you know, just built on out of part of the garage, which does not have a metal door, by the way.
But I have a feeling if you were in the middle of that room where you were, right?
Yeah.
You were in the middle of that room, and you had a large piece of stainless steel or whatever, and you know, because everybody did that in grade school,
oh, yeah.
I think, because they took a big piece of metal and they shook it and made the thunder noise, right? I mean, everybody's done that. And had you done that physically, the owner of the property, who will not go into that room anymore, would have heard pretty much just what you described, what you were doing, not just boxes shuffling. So it's so weird how sound works in a paranormal environment, I think.
It is. And she was only 10 feet back, and she did hear the thunder rumble, but not loud like we did. To me, it was incredibly loud.
Yeah, and that was like the screaming at Whispers Estate.
Mm-hmm.
I heard it like it was all over, like it was part of what was going on. It was coming from upstairs, but it was so incredibly loud and clear. And yet I had a microphone up there, and it captured it, yes, but it sounded, it was weaker than, our voices, and we were downstairs.
Yeah, we've always found that very,
the way paranormal sound travels, I think, is not necessarily, at least to me, it doesn't seem to make sense the way that I've experienced sound for 41 years.
Well, I don't think sound or sight or anything, I think you're sensing it with something other than your normal ears or your normal eyes, and it goes through the brain a different way. I don't know what, but...
Mm-hmm.
You know, people see apparitions differently.
That's true.
I'll see something like just sort of wavy energy, and meanwhile somebody else is describing a person. It's interesting.
Well, the name of the game, I think, still, and this has been said a gazillion times, is, you know, perception is everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Perception is everything. What you see, what you hear, what you feel is always going to be different from the person next to you. I mean, that's the fact of the matter. I think that's where it's all at.
Right, but if you and I are in a bar and a waitress walks by, we both would perceive a waitress. Yeah, you might be like, "Ooh, she looks like my high school crush or something," and I might be like, "Oh, she looks like my hideous teacher from my English teacher. Oh my gosh, my English teacher in college."
Yeah, but we're perceiving that person
hated
differently.
Her. Oh my gosh,
we're perceiving that person differently.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You perceive differently, but it's the same person. We perceive the same thing. We just interpreted it different.
Well, the outside, the crust of it is going to be
female
waitress.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
We both got that. We're over that. But how it affects us, how the input stimulates us,
that
our minds
is completely different.
It's completely different.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same thing. If an apparition was to appear in front of us here in the studio, Doug, right?
Right.
I think we both would be like, dude. We'd both be like, wow. You know, the visual of that thing appearing in front of us would be like, wow. But it would mean something. I mean, our stories might be a little bit different, though. I think we could both say.
Well,
you know,
we would focus on different things. I might focus on clothing. You might focus on facial features.
Yeah,
Kind of, I mean, yeah. The
so our stories aren't going to be exactly the same.
But they could be at least, you know, one of the things, though, if you have a thing, write it down. Write it down as soon after the event as possible, or put it into one of them tape things. Oh, my gosh, I just had this experience.
Yeah.
So that you can remember it, because a week from, you know, even a week after, you sometimes may not remember exactly the chain of events. So that's why when you have a paranormal experience, write it down or speak it into a tape or whatever to get it down pat.
Yeah. So, again, I think that, I'm sorry, go ahead, Tamara. What were you gonna
say? Last night we were doing another place, and someone came up with a name and of a diner, but by the time we walked outside, she'd forgotten that it was a diner, not a cafe. But a couple of other of us knew she'd said diner. You know, that's just half an hour.
Yeah.
It's really easy to...
Details.
I think cops have trouble with witnesses because everybody notices different things. But
yeah.
Paranormal things, the differences are usually far greater.
Yeah. That's true.
And, I think it comes down to, like you just said, Doug,
and it may
write
be,
stuff down. Right
and it
there.
Might be like, Tamara, you were saying, it could be actual perception. Because, like you said, one person can see a solid ghost, and somebody may see just wavy lines or nothing at all. And you're standing and saying, Sean's wife or girlfriend, she saw something or whatever. The entire room had no clue why she ran out of the house,
mm-hmm.
right? And it was... She just up and left, you know, and they're like,
everybody else is like, what are you doing?
They didn't know or even know anything happened, but she whispered in her ear, and she's like, oh my gosh, something whispered in my ear, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I looked and there was nobody there. So I mean, this kind of thing happens. It didn't happen
totally.
To anybody else. I know we've got to go to break.
No, you're good. You're
trying
good.
To speak.
No, you're good, man. I don't want to kill your jam session. No, no, no.
Is this next break by the
I'm
way?
Actually just happy my sweat stopped and like we're kind of actually having a
yeah,
conversation
we're actually
now.
At groove control.
And we're not like you know just like
we're talking about ghosts.
Yeah, we're doing our thing here.
Yeah.
And we've gotten back to where we. I'm actually happy we're kind of back in the groove now. You know, so yeah. Let's take a quick break, though, all right?
Is this Bonnie Vent, this one?
Yeah, this is Paranormal News by Bonnie Vent.
Excellent.
This is what we have at the center of every show, in the middle of every show now. Bonnie Vent is a good friend of the show now, and she does the wonderful Paranormal News for us. Tamara Thorne is with us tonight also. Tamara, thank you again for joining us, and always it's a great time to have you here.
But we got another half hour with Tamara.
Yes,
coming
we
up.
Do.
We're
She's not going nowhere.
Because we're
going
to be talking about, I've got a list of things, including... ooh, you know what? I'm going to save that for next.
Ghostly Talk!
Interested in ghosts? UFOs? How about the occult? Are you psychic? Would you like to find out? Well, if you're intrigued by the world's curiosities and all that is paranormal, then Paralore.com is a place for you. Create your own profile, start a photo album, write a blog, or just hang out and watch countless hours worth of paranormal videos while chatting with other Paralore members. Who knows? You could win a prize or two if you're quick and brave enough. It's all here, and it's all free. Visit www.paralore.com and join today. Again, membership is free, and we know you won't be disappointed.
Paralore.com. Unlock your mind.
Welcome to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio. Paranormal News is produced by Genesis Creations Entertainment. I'm your host, Bonnie Vance. Paranormal News is sponsored by the new ebook, Is My House Haunted? A Practical Guide. Have you ever asked yourself the question, is my house haunted? Looking for a do-it-yourself way to find the answers? This ebook walks you through all the basics. There are also forms that you can fill out to log the activity and your experiences. For more information, please go to www.sdparanormal.com and look for Is My House Haunted? A Practical Guide. A Dutch primary school teacher and amateur astronomer has discovered what some are calling a cosmic ghost, a strange object with a hole in the middle that may represent a new class of astronomical object. The teacher, Hanny von Arkel, discovered the object while volunteering in the Galaxy Zoo project, which enlists the help of members of the public to classify galaxies online. At first, she had no idea what it was. It could have been in our solar system or at the edge of the universe. The find, nicknamed Hanny's Verwerp, which is Dutch for object, soon had scientists training their telescopes on the object. What they saw was really a mystery. The Verwerp didn't contain any stars. Made entirely of a very hot gas, the eerie green object is illuminated by remnant light from nearby galaxy IC2497. They think that in recent past, the galaxy IC2497 hosted an enormously bright quasar. The light from the past still illuminates the ghostly object, even though the quasar shut down some 100,000 years ago and the galaxy's black hole went quiet. Researchers will soon use the Hubble Space Telescope to get a closer look. This next story comes from WHAM 13 in Bristol, New York. the paranormal lures the crew back to the Bristol Town Hall. For years, Ontario County Sheriff's deputies who used the satellite office at the Bristol Town Hall swore there was ghostly activity. Bristol Town Hall's historian, Helen Fox, commissioned the Central New York Paranormal Investigators Group to conduct a sweep. It wasn't that she believed in ghosts, rather she just wanted to dispel the rumors that have plagued the town hall for years. However, that didn't happen. The investigators came in, set up cameras, noise recorders, heat, electronic field detectors. They taped everything for 24 hours, and the results came back inconclusive. Fox says the investigators did pick up some noises, and they want to come back this fall and do a sweep again. Fox said CNN had contacted her for an interview, but she declined, saying she thinks the new noises might have been caused by a bird. Still, she looks forward to a second sweep to kill the entire ghostly buzz. Our last story comes from Metro West Daily News. Three teams of paranormal investigators descended on the Stones Public House to probe the spooky stories about the Ashland Landmark, which is home most other nights to non-scary food, drink, and live music. It was far from the first time ghost enthusiasts explored the old inn, with doors that refused to stay shut and employees who say they have felt invisible hands. The group's guide, David Radlick, an Ashland firefighter who investigates the paranormal on the side, has studied the building at least three times. It was featured on the Sci-Fi Channel's Ghost Hunter show in 2005. But this marks the most thorough exploration of the building yet, and may have been one of the biggest joint ventures ever in the world of ghost hunting. As far as he knows, this is the first time three groups have ever gotten together on the same night to investigate the same place. Among those poking around the building with tape recorders and cameras was David Francis, an Upton resident. He said he is seven chapters into a 10-chapter book on Stone's history and reports of eerie phenomena. They come from customers, people that pass by on the street, and law enforcement officials. Francis says it's not just a place that's trying to market ghosts to get people in the door. There's really something going on. However, Francis is trying to separate fact from myth. He says he's dug in deep in historic records to verify stories about the inn, dispelling some stories, confirming others, and discovering new ones. Death records show it's true that a little girl was once killed by a train near Stones, but Francis said there is little evidence to confirm a salesman named Mike McPherson ever existed, much less killed over a poker game gone bad. Francis said he confirmed four deaths at the inn itself. Records say William Alfred Scott, who owned the inn from 1858 to 1904, lost two sons to cirrhosis of the liver and one to general paralysis, and his wife died at Stones as well. News articles say one of his sons attacked a woman in the inn between 1894 and 1895. For more information on these stories, please go to www.sdparanormal.com and the Paranormal News feed page. Don't forget, sign up for a free subscription to Paranormal News. Thanks for joining us today on Paranormal News. If you'd like to sponsor or advertise on Paranormal News, please send us an email at parxnews@aol.com. You can listen to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio at www.ghostlytalk.com. Please check out their other fine shows. Or you can join us at paranormalnews.mypodcast.com. Until next time, I'm your host, Bonnie Vance.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
We talked about that last show. Our friend Alex Clem passed away. But we, of course, you know, what do I told you this, you know, off the air, Doug. I'm like, I'll do the show. I want to help out any way I can, but I do not want to get into all the planning and logistics and business end of this.
Right.
I would like for once in my life to show up with my bass and play it and go home, right?
Right.
Of course, nope, ain't going to happen. I had to call 50,000 people last week to get a meeting arranged for Tuesday night. And I have it arranged at a regular, like, just a nice quiet place where we can get together and talk.
Yeah.
Where we can have whatever we want to drink, you know, whatever if you're whatever you're into, and we can talk. So the question that I just got here was, hey, we've had some people saying they want to go to Hooters. They don't want to go to that place. I'm like, I don't know if you know what if you have you guys have Hooters in California, Tamara.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You
have we have Hooters.
Now, I got no problem. Well, actually, they got really crappy food, but, you know, you don't go there for the food. We all know that. But I'm like, Rabbit, now listen, dude. I want to get something done that night. I don't want just a half of us to get drunk and the other half of us to beat them up. Okay, I want to get something done. So no, I'm X-ing this idea. I'm vetoing it right now. Don't bother with this crap.
As a matter of fact, if you guys can go to the original location, get all the things done that you needed to get done in a hurry, then whoever wants to can go off to
Hooters. Go! I don't care what you do.
Go and have a blast.
Give me the half an hour I need to get out and get the business done that I don't really feel like doing, but
right.
I'm doing it anyways. Okay, great. So, yeah, that was what the whole hoopla was earlier about the phone going off on the air, me nearly losing my job here on the radio show. Speaking of places, you just did an investigation last night. Am I correct, Tamara?
Yeah. It was a good one. It was up in Barstow, which isn't too far from where I placed the novel Thunder Road.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, it's a strange place. But you've heard of the Harvey House?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Judy Garland musical, but they were all across the country.
Yes.
Well, there's one up there, huge one. And they've been renovating it. It's mostly empty. And it's got hot and cold running ghosts. Of course, last night at the desert, we were all, you know, making our own soup on ourselves, but they have made a cold spots extra nice. We took in some tourists too, but it was still a small group, and I'll tell ya, there's some good stuff there. It's www.hauntedbarstow.com.
Excellent. Oh. What you mentioned cold spots, which obviously were
welcome at that time.
Oh, they're always great in a hot spot.
Yeah. Was there any other things that happened there?
Yeah, we had a couple people go running out, terrified, and I don't really know why at this point. But one hallway just really the static and it did strange things to your ears. And then there was, it was a community restroom, and the door was locked to that one, unfortunately. But, oh, I would have loved to walk in there. And there were sightings of a woman that would have been in the old Harvey House type uniform by several people. I saw a little bit of glimmer of energy movement, but that was it.
Mm-hmm.
But they think somebody jumped off the balcony. It's hard to get all the history that they're trying to get it all together. And, of course, it was a huge old hotel and restaurants and all that, and any place like that is going to have a lot of feeling. It was built
yes.
in 19-
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There were a few there before that burned down, because everything in the West burns down a few times where they build it out of brick or adobe.
But it was
good. I'm zoning. There was one spot where it felt like there was grayness over one eye for me, and
ooh.
Someone else felt like it was somebody falling down, something wrong with them. So, you know, swooning was the word, so I guess female. But there were a few other things, and now I'm totally blanking.
How do you run into these? Like, do people contact you and say, oh, you've got to check this place out, or do you surf around the internet and find these places and then ask
Well, that's part of a little gang that just started these Haunted Barstow tours, and the Harvey House is the first thing on them, and actually met them because of Thunder Road. He's Bill Cook, the guy who runs it, used to be the Ghost Walk guy at Calico, which is the basis for Thunder Road.
Oh, yeah.
And it was all coincidental. I didn't know about him. He didn't know about me. And, you know, it was synchronicity.
Oh, completely, yeah.
Interesting how that works out.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, so if I go with a group, I go with them. And, you know, they're a couple of cops, and they have the techie things and all that. You know, and I have my pad and paper, so.
Did when you go, so it's a small group, which is absolutely what you want.
Completely.
Small group, and over time, though, you are going to get to hear all the stories. Like, why did you run out the place?
Oh, yeah, because this was just last night, you know, and everybody was getting home at 3 in the morning, so nobody really wanted to talk yet.
Yeah, that's
pretty
much
how it works.
And I
really like to write everything down, so.
Yeah.
People are shooting out of there, though. Literally.
Several times, yeah. And
wow.
There was one spot where I walked fast, but yeah, kept it down because I like to maintain that macho image.
It sounds fascinating. And is it, they're renovating the place. Are they going to make it back into a, like a hotel kind of place, or is it going to be a...
Well, it's still a train station.
Okay.
The Chamber of Commerce is down in one little spot. This place is huge. And
it sounds like it.
Oh, wow.
It's been used for high school dances, and in fact, the downstairs area, when I walked into it, despite all the sweat, it felt noisy and chattery, and it felt like people dancing, and not necessarily in very old clothes either, and then I found out from somebody that high school proms are held there now and then.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, it's just place memory to me, to other people,
yeah.
And spirits, and it's probably a little bit of everything, but... I don't think anything's going to happen soon. There's a little talk among us of turning it back into a hotel. They need to put private bathrooms in.
Yeah, that's
but,
true.
Yeah. If anybody can pull something like that off, they'll cook camp.
True.
Now, also, and I know, Doug, you were digging into this before we went to break. And I don't even know how we're going to approach this without sounding a complete nutcases here. But, yeah, I listened to her giggle on the other end, cackling on the other end of the line here. But, well, okay.
Here's...
This one's yours, because, you know, you're the one that... No, it's yours.
Here's the thing. We had done a show back... I don't think it was one of the original 13, was it? But it may have been, you know, soon after that. And we did a show on Incubus and Succubus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
God, that was with Brick Hard Rod.
With Brick Hard Rod. Oh, my gosh. We are, yes.
And we're due for a visit. That's come up. Brick actually called me the other day and was like, you know, this is Brick Hard Rod. And, you know how he is. You know, and he wants to come on the show, so we have to actually work that out. We're going to have Brick drop in sometime.
Yeah, I like
but
that
yeah,
plan.
We did this show.
I like his name.
this was like years ago too. It's been a long
years,
time since we hung out.
7 years ago,
Rod.
Right? And
but yeah, the show was on Incubuses and Succubuses,
right? And that was on this list. What I love is that we have not only can we talk about Incubus and Succubus, but also the validity. And I'm just reading right off my notes.
Yeah,
I'm not sugarcoating. I'm not changing.
We'll keep it. We'll keep it cool as we can. Though
the validity of ectogasm.
And how do we get them over and over again?
Yes, we need a manual. And on this,
they have all these books out there on this stuff. Why don't I have one for ectogasms, right? Tamara, can you please enlighten us on this?
That is actually the original word that I put in books, but I've been using that word. It's what your incubus gives you, or your succubus, I guess, if you're a guy, or, you know, whatever you prefer.
Yeah.
You ever have that dream where the guy, well, I guess he's not a guy for you, but it's like that sci-fi commercial, they haven't run it for a while, but the sort of gray lady comes over and floats above a guy in bed and kind of wiggles around.
I have seen that.
Yes, I've seen it.
Well, I know the guy. He shows up every now and then. And good. He doesn't leave any ectogism. That's what I really like.
Which is good.
God, we're going to get blown off.
No stickiness. Well, you know, the...
What?
Yeah.
What? All right, okay.
What are you thinking of?
I can't...
You don't even have to call him in the morning.
No, you just wake up in the middle of the night smiling.
He's super happy.
And, the next again, so I'm just kind of, And with any luck, there's a cold spot, so you're not overheated.
It's the perfect relationship. The thing is, the...
This hurts. Keep going, Doug. It's all you, man. You know, my mic is out.
Yeah, he did. He really removed his mic. He removed his mic from the stream. You and I can still hear him, but he's not even in the stream. The thing is that it is something. I mean, the years and years ago they made, you know, the Entity or something like that, a movie about a terrible, terrible case. But, I mean, this kind of thing does happen. I mean, even I have had not necessarily an incubus or a succubus visit me, but I have had, you know, dreams that
you wake up real happy.
Yeah. Make you really happy, and who knows, it could be inspired by you know, floating personalities. I don't know. I'm not
one personality, honey. I never remember a face, but the body's
familiar. Wow.
But
this gets better and better.
I don't know. It's just what an interesting topic. But actually, there's another thing on the list.
If I may interject, I mean, this does really happen, though.
Yes, it does.
This is a very real thing.
I know.
You know, in all seriousness, this really goes down and it happens.
Yeah, a lot of it's dreaming. A lot of it is, if you know how to lucid dream, you can make it happen. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is dream problems, you know, sleep disorders, which I've always had, but my mom had them too, so she taught me how to use them. She didn't teach me that thank you this part, but I figured that out on my own. But it can, you know, old hag syndrome where people think, bad stuff. In the Entity case, that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I think that the guy is so hot.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
You found some clips.
I found some toys. But no, I'm very familiar with the Entity case, Tamara. I really am.
Uh-huh.
I've read the book, actually, too. Not too many people have. I don't know too many people. My grandmother, of all people in Tennessee, has a copy of that book. And when I was down there, you know, in my youth, I ended up reading that book. And it's the movie is terrifying. If you've seen the film.
Yeah. Oh, I like the part where the fake boobs are manipulated by the Entity.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The finger things, yeah.
That yeah. Is I'm going to be doing something with Barry Taft briefly, so I ended up rereading the book recently.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fun read.
It's a terrifying read. I mean, I read that when I was like 14 years old, and it really scared the heck out of me. And that is an actual real case, like you said, Tamara.
Yeah. Yeah, it was here in Southern California.
Well, yeah, California people are not much out there.
Because we have Hooters. And the entities, they like them.
I'm done. I can't.
I wonder if entities prefer bags of saline or if they prefer the real thing.
The real thing.
The real thing?
More energy there.
Well, that's true. Because, you know, those things you get implanted in, those don't have very much energy, but they look good. The other thing
I might have goldfish in them.
Oh,
it's hard to feed them though.
Yes, it is.
You
get a little tube or a zipper.
I don't even know what we're doing here.
Anyway,
I thought we leveled things off here. I thought we were like going to get back into the groove.
It went crazy.
I'm lost. You guys go.
I'm sorry, but we can actually bring this around. I can bring this around.
I can hear you now.
Yes. But he's not in the stream. I can bring this around. Because one of your favorite topics is... Thank you, sir. May I have another? Oh, that's a good one. Is you know, gullibility and hoaxes, and of course we've been talking about that in the very first half hour of the show. Is, you know, right now out in Georgia, a couple of guys say that they found a Bigfoot, and they have it, you know, in ice in a freezer in a secret hidden location, and they had a in Palo Alto, California, is where they had the big press release last Friday. And
Scott, if you check your email, you'll find the picture of the Bigfoot I sent to you a little while ago.
Ah, well, thank you. I checked my email, but it's sort of spotty.
But it's Scott.
Oh, yeah. And Scott's, oh, yeah, I could.
Yeah, I couldn't remember your email, so I said it to you.
Well, I don't blame you, but, you know, I mean, these hoaxes, they happen all the time, and we, you know, obviously with a Bigfoot, that's a really, really big news, but there's also people who do the same thing with ghosts, and I'm of the opinion now that if you go in to a haunted location and you're on whether you're on a Bigfoot hunt, whether you're on a ghost hunt or if you're just spending the night in a haunted location, which I like to do too, or if you just happen to run into one, I mean, you know, you could really be at eating lunch or dinner and have an experience. I mean, these experiences happen all the time to all kinds of people. But then it becomes a personal experience, and nobody can ever take that away from you. So I saw one ghost once. Nobody can ever take that away from me. I can describe it until...
I'll put myself back in.
Oh,
sorry.
Good idea.
I'm back now.
And, you know, but it's my experience, and I'm not out to make a movie on any of these things whatever. I
do a show every week. It's enough.
And then I get to go and I talk to people about their experiences, and I thrive on this stuff. I love it. But why do people see the need to run up there and create this huge hullabaloo about, and it could be Bigfoot, it could be ghosts, it could be UFOs or ghosts.
Yeah, anything under the paranormal.
It could be anything. What's up with that?
Excuse me. I think it boils down to, well, I got him on TV.
Yeah.
Got him on CNN.
There is this trait or this characteristic where people, it isn't always about money. Because I said earlier, money. Money. And yeah, usually that is the reason.
These days, fame seems to be, no matter how fleeting.
It's a drug, man. It's a total drug, I think. I think people, and I mean, look around in the paranormal. I mean, we've mentioned it before. It really is something where people really just want to literally, and for lack of a better term, get their 15 minutes of fame. You know, they're not really too worried about money. They just want to get themselves on TV or something like that. Well, I think that's cool. You know, we've been very excited about our opportunities we've got. You know, we're like, wow, holy crap, that's cool. But that is the thing, too. I think it's just like people want to be, you know, I was on TV.
I've never understood that. I like radio. That's a radio body.
I do too. Yeah. You know, you're behind your microphone. It's secure. It's safe.
Yeah.
No, the.
I can play with my incubus.
Right.
You don't even know. Yeah.
See there right now, too?
The fingers are moving right now as we see. You know.
Oh my god.
We only have like a minute and a half left. If you want to get on the radio, on TV, be famous, if you want people to like you, if you want, you know, do something and learn something. Tamara wrote oodles of fiction and now nonfiction books. You're hardworking. You get all this stuff done.
And you
run a business, too, with your husband. I mean, you're doing all these wonderful things and still, you know, going to haunted places and learning and doing and talking about it. That's impressive to me. Not, oh, look, I can make, like, the most convincing Bigfoot mask and throw some entrails on it.
Well, what it comes down to, and what I've said to people before that have asked us about the show, and Tamara, I'm sure you can identify with this, is some people think that we're famous, and I think it's hysterical. I think it's hilarious. But people ask us, like, you know, how do we do that? And I'm like, dude, earn the title, first off. Earn the title. Do the work. Put the time into it. Sweat a little bit. Put some love and passion into what you're doing. And then, you know, you'll reap the benefits of that. It may not be fame and fortune. It may not be money and all that stuff. I like to walk away in my old age now, walking away from things going, wow, I really gave that thing everything I had. Look what we put together.
Look what
here.
We did.
Yeah. We took something from nothing and made it into something beautiful.
We have this huge library of archives. Tamara has a huge library. She can fill library shelves, as a matter of fact.
Right?
Because you work hard. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. long as they don't look at the dirty parts, yeah.
But that's what it's all about.
Sometimes it's worth it.
Well, keeps me awake, I'll tell you.
Tamara, I love you, Tamara. You are, and I don't say it to too many people, Tamara, but I love you. You are like, I mean, you've been coming and visiting us on the show here for years now, and there's a reason for that, because we have a ball talking to you, and
yes,
there's always something interesting to talk about.
And I have two balls talking to you.
Ooh, one for each.
You better run this one out, because I'm about to fall over, man.
Your website is www.tamarathorne.com. Of course, that's been permanently linked up at ghostlytalk.com for a while now, but
the beginning of time,
up on the list.
Yes.
And wow, what fantastic. And you keep it up. Keep going to those haunted places and writing about them, you and this is great stuff, Tamara. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, don't leave us just yet. Stay on the line, Tamara.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Stay on the line. Coming up.
We had a right. Tamara always is great.
Always.
This one's your.
The next guest.
I'm sweating again.
Well, the next guest we have known for. This is another series of things where we've known for years and years and years, and absolutely enjoy these guys, and just have never had them on for some reason. I have no clue why, but we are going to bring them on for the 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock Eastern time zone hour, and finally talk to Len and Luke of Illinois, and we're going to get that done because we have got to have them on the show.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking to those guys. And Tamara, again, thank you for joining us. I got a headache.
It always happens like this, Tamara. So go to break, and then we will be back with Len and Luke.
Miss a live broadcast? Feel free to download it direct from the on-demand archives at ghostlytalk.com.